Chapter 14. The Weakness of the Power Hour. Posted the 10th of September 2013, originally written in late 2010. This was originally posted following Dr. Judy Wood receiving an invite to speak on a popular radio show, with a large audience, called The Power Hour, which was hosted by Joyce Riley. The interview would have taken place on the 11th of September 2013. Dr. Wood declined the invitation, because of what is documented below. Joyce Riley passed on the 25th of June 2015. I hope she has found the truth now. This is, of course, not the first time such an interview request has been declined by Dr. Judy Wood. An interview with the BBC was declined by Dr. Judy Wood in 2008. That was a good decision, it seems, and was reaffirmed as such, with the airing of another BBC 9/11 criminal propaganda piece by the same producer, Mike Rudin. Introduction. This article will attempt to analyze a previous interview conducted by Joyce Riley of the Power Hour and indicate why Dr. Wood declined a request for an interview by her in relation to Dr. Wood's fundamentally important 500-page tome Where Did the Towers Go? On 23 March 2010, Joyce Riley interviewed Dr. Judy Wood in relation to her research into the destruction of the WTC complex, and resulting key TAM case. Sadly, it has become necessary to post this article to lay out the facts about what happened in 2010, so that information and analysis is available for those that wish to read it. Time and again we find ourselves having to work to correct misconceptions, misrepresentations and clarify the context in which evidence has been discussed. Again, it has become necessary to point out where psychological tactics seem to have been used, rather than relevant and logical questions being asked and answered. I have become ever more wary about having to post articles like this and at times, feel that I have turned into some kind of watcher or even policeman, which is not what I intended. Overall, the evidence I have gathered over the last 6-7 years, shows that the cover-up relating to Dr. Judy Wood's research into the destruction of the WTC is so powerful and comprehensive, and it is often quite subtle. In all of this, my overall objective and agenda is to make information available so that those that want to learn the truth can learn the truth. It is not an easy task, because of the mesh of forces which works to keep the truth from being known. I was therefore saddened by Joyce Riley's response when I wrote to her on Dr. Judy Wood's behalf to decline an interview that she had requested, around the time of the 10th anniversary, and the same has happened near the 12th anniversary. In short, it seems that Joyce Riley was not particularly interested in the truth of what happened on the 11th of September. It seems she would rather fill an hour or two of her radio show and then continue to suggest that the truth about what happened on the 11th of September was not, and could not, be known. We will now analyze parts of the interview. Dr. Wood interviewed by Joyce Riley, the 22nd of March 2010. Dr. Judy Wood was invited, along with myself, to discuss her research on the Power Hour, and the show took place on schedule. Initially, there were no serious problems with the interview, although Joyce Riley started off reminding people about thermite being accepted by a number of people in the truth movement. At about 13:04, when discussing whether large pieces of the building fell to the ground, she does say, however, that all she saw was dust in the air. This theme is repeated several times over the next few minutes, and Joyce Riley seemed to understand. At about 11:50 into the interview, Joyce Riley talks about the building being brought down by thermite charges. At about 29:00, Hurricane Erin is brought up, and Joyce Riley states that she had never heard about this. A few seconds later she says that people are emailing her because they do not believe what they're hearing. She makes no other comment and expresses no surprise. The first caller appears around 31:30 and brings up the subjects of UFOs and molten metal. However, when Dr. Wood started to discuss her court case, some problems began to occur. At about 37:00, Dr. Wood was talking about the contractors she had sued, but she does not get chance to name them. Joyce Riley then abruptly cuts in saying, "Okay, let me just say to Larry in Texas we're gonna get to what she believes to be the other reason." Dr. Wood then says, "No, this isn't about belief." Riley continues, "All right, what she says her belief is. Larry, did you want to say anything else?" So, Joyce Riley is either not appreciating or deliberately putting the wrong emphasis on the word belief. Perhaps she is even deliberately mischaracterizing what Dr. Judy Wood did with her research. The caller then asks about WTC7, and then there is a break, after which Joyce Riley then says, "We're having a bit of a contentious discussion between some people who believe and don't believe what Dr. Judy Wood says. Now I'm open. I don't have a dog in this fight, other than I want the truth. I'm just like her. I want to know what the evidence shows, what the documentation shows."
Well, I don't know about that. Here again, you're asking us to deal with a fact I'm not aware of. I never heard about fumes coming out of a building. I'll tell you what, let me go to Steve in Florida. Steve in Florida, you're on the air. Go ahead, please, with Dr. Judy Wood.
Hi, Joyce. Thank you for taking my call. Am I
sure.
loud and clear?
Yeah, you are. Go ahead.
Judy, you have misrepresented the facts concerning Hurricane Aaron. I live here in Hurricane Country, Florida. I track all the hurricanes. Aaron hit Corpus Christi, Texas, 15 August 2007. Your opinion concerning 911 are not consistent with the facts provided on 911 ripple effect, last man out, Richard Gage's blueprint for truth, loose change final cut, Zero, an investigation into 911, and many other video documentaries. I don't know what planet you've come from.
Okay. I guess he's gone. I don't know what happened to Steve.
As for Hurricane Aaron, they did not retire that name. It has been used several times. It was used before 2001, after that, but it was the biggest storm of the 2001 season, the first hurricane, I believe, of the 2001 hurricane season.
All right, let me go back to George. George, ask her one question that you would like to get answered.
Well, I don't think MIT does much in conspiracy theory, especially at those levels.
Is that a question?
But we do talk about...
I'll answer one question.
If I may ask my question. I remember 9/11 very clearly, and you talk about Hurricane Aaron coming and having some effects. And I do recall almost every picture, in fact, every picture I've seen of New York on that day, the sky was blue. Clear blue, not a cloud in the sky. If you go and follow the track of her...
Do you have a question?
Wait a second. Okay, he's asking the question about the hurricane. I never heard about the hurricane. This is hurting, I think, the situation because we can't verify some of your so-called evidence here. I mean, I'm trying to. I'm wanting
to. If you go to drjudywood.com/WTC, there's a whole page of evidence there. And, you know, if somebody wants to say, well, I didn't look at the page, but I know it's wrong,
that we're saying hurricanes are things that are documented.
Yes.
And if you have it documented and nobody else does, then where did
the National Hurricane Center has it documented. This is another issue. Why is it not been publicized? Why weren't people warned that there's this hurricane that was predicted to be bigger than Katrina? It was predicted to be bigger, and it, as it turns out, its energy system was greater than Katrina.
Aaron, E-R-I-N?
E-R-I-N, Aaron.
We're trying to look it up now. Okay, let's go to George. All right, let's go to George in Indiana. George, okay. You're on the air. Go ahead, please, with Dr. Wood.
Yes, this is disinfo information. There's so much to go on. I just got 2 points. The firemen that were there fighting the fires, their boots were melting. There's YouTube videos of them telling them that their boots were melting. They said they looked down into the basement, and they saw molten metal running down the channel rails like a foundry. I think that is evidence because they were seeing it.
Joyce Riley seems to be muddling things around here. She claims to want to know the truth, but she put things in terms of belief and kept interrupting when Dr. Judy Wood was discussing some of the details of the court case. She then suddenly switches to talking to a caller, just when the discussion was beginning to cover who might know who did 9/11, that is the military contractors who helped cover up what happened. Joyce Riley then talks about buildings coming down, and Dr. Wood then goes on to say the buildings went away. She then states that Building 7 didn't come down and points out the lack of a seismic signal for its demise. Joyce Riley says, "I think this is where people are gonna lose you right now." Dr. Wood goes on to explain what actually happened with the ongoing and voluminous fuming, which lasted for about 7 hours. "Well, I don't know about that. Here again, you're asking us to deal with a fact I am not aware of." Joyce Riley does not let Dr. Wood elaborate on the evidence and present the truth about what happened to WTC-7. Rather, she then takes a phone call which turns out to be Steve from Florida. He asks if he is loud and clear and then launches into a tirade. Judy, you have misrepresented the facts concerning Hurricane Erin. I live here in Hurricane Country, Florida. I track all the hurricanes. Erin hit Corpus Christi, Texas, the 15th of August 2007. Your opinions concerning 9/11 are not consistent with the facts provided. 9/11 ripple effect, last man out, Richard Gage's blueprint for 9/11 truth, loose change final cut, Zero, an investigation into 9/11 and many other documentaries. I don't know what planet you've come from. Joyce Riley then interrupts and then says, we don't need to go quite that far. The point is, we are listening to information here and trying to come to a conclusion. Give her one statement at a time that you'd like her to address. The question then is, according to Joyce Riley, how far do we need to go? How should we characterize the guest, Dr. Judy Wood? Strange, weird, or just plain wacky? We then hear some background noises and Steve is gone. Dr. Judy Wood's voice is then heard saying, as for Hurricane Erin, they did not retire that name. As it turned out, Dr. Wood's audio had been muted while the caller was ranting and she was pointing out, but it did not go on air, that the facts can easily be checked at the Hurricane Data Center. Dr. Wood did give some facts about the hurricane but seemed to have been surprised and put off balance by the caller's rant and Joyce Riley's lack of response to it. Once again, we can think of what the caller said. He asked if he was loud and clear. Note, he did not say, can you hear me? Which is what most people would have said. But Joyce Riley carries on reading emails and does not bother to correct the caller's false statement, and then there is a break. After the break, Joyce Riley says that a lot of people have asked to have Dr. Judy Wood on, but she then feels it is necessary to defend herself for having Dr. Wood on. Joyce Riley asks that she not be berated if listeners do not agree with Dr. Wood. She then says Steve is a wonderful person and she loves him very much, but says let's just try to get down to what the fact is. The problem with this statement and its sentiment is that Joyce Riley, prior to the interview, had a 90-minute telephone conversation with Dr. Wood and the hurricane was discussed. Why would she not say, no, sorry Steve, you're wrong, I checked the hurricane and it really was there? After a discussion of the conclusion about the buildings being destroyed with the use of an energy weapon, Joyce Riley then goes to a call from George in Canada. It is actually George Freund. At about 47 hours 10 minutes, he then discusses burning metals, metals that can burn underwater, which is true, and he gives the example of divers welding underwater and phosphorus bombs. Dr. Wood points out she talked about molten metals, not burning metals, and she said that you don't store molten metal at the bottom of a swimming pool. After the break, Joyce Riley then says she doesn't know the answers and goes back to George Freund, who again talks about metals burning underwater and how they have to be extinguished differently to ordinary fires. He seems to know quite a bit about it. George Freund then goes on to talk about nanothermite and an MIT publication called Technology Review. He also mentions mini-nuke technology and goes on about various other nanothermite-related items. I have already talked about this extensively in 9/11 Finding the Truth and earlier in this book. Further information can be found on a blog I compiled called 9/11 Thermite Free. Freund then goes on to question the issue of the hurricane, saying, I do recall almost every picture. In fact, in every picture I've seen of New York on that day, the sky was blue, pure blue, not a cloud in the sky. Joyce Riley interrupts and says, this is hurting the situation because we can't verify some of your so-called evidence here. I mean, I'm trying to, I want to. Dr. Judy Wood advises her to go to http://judywood.com/WTC and points out that the hurricane is documented at the National Hurricane Center. I must therefore question, at this point, Joyce Riley's motives. We are 54 minutes in, now 17 minutes after the first caller has essentially accused Dr. Judy Wood of lying about Hurricane Erin, and there have been two breaks. No one has checked. She then goes back to George Freund, who continues to talk about demolition, and he does not ask Dr. Wood a further question. The discussion goes on to what William Rodriguez, see Chapter 21, said about a sealed-off area in the WTC, and Joyce Riley says she happens to believe him. This makes her on air doubt about the presence of Hurricane Erin, already discussed with her prior to the interview, even more inappropriate. We then have another caller talking about molten metal and melting boots, but not burned feet. He, inevitably, mentions Stephen E. Jones and the so-called peer-reviewed papers. He openly accuses Dr. Wood of being a disinfo agent, but she replies discussing how the thermite evidence has never been submitted in a legal framework, whereas her own research has. Joyce Riley then agrees that these other people haven't filed a key TAM case based on their evidence, but then returns to the caller and enthusiastically seems to agree with him when he suggests a combination of things were used. She says, "Good point. Excellent point. Now, 1 hour into this broadcast, considerably longer in real time, due to the breaks, Joyce Riley finally announces that her computer is fixed and she has confirmed that Hurricane Erin was indeed the longest, lasting, hurricane in the 2001 season. The time frame was set first to the 15th, though she doesn't name the hurricane at this point, and Dr. Judy Wood continues to explain its relevance, but is again cut short as another caller is taken. However, this caller seems to understand the basis of the evidence and what it shows, and is complimentary. Joyce Riley talks about people's reaction to the evidence and how the Power Hour is about empowering people with facts and evidence. She then says, "Now I think there have been some statements made today that are probably inaccurate on both sides, but I think the idea though is that we are looking for the truth. If we are all looking for the truth, there shouldn't be this infighting." Following this, I also spoke for a time on the program, and after the program, Joyce Riley did, indeed, ring me and compliment me on my presentation. Only Jim Fetzer has done this same thing with me before now. Joyce Riley seems quite open to what I said and even went on to ask Dr. Wood to list the contractors that were named in her key TAM case. However, this is not discussed for all that long. Following a short summing up I offered, another couple of emails are read out, one of which says, "Judy is not the easiest person to follow, but when she said Tesla she got my attention. It may have been a sound weapon, as Tesla proved, as well as thermite." Joyce Riley responds, "Bingo. What a good statement." A complimentary email is read out asking for Dr. Wood to be back on. She then closes with, "Listeners, it's all about being open-minded. We don't know the answers, we don't have the truth." Summary of Dr. Wood's interview. On 22 March, the interview with Dr. Wood is broken up, disjointed, and the issue of doubt about the hurricane is injected following a caller's, Steve's, false accusation. A follow-up call by George Freund then brings up thermite, but does not explain how it is supposed to have turned the towers to dust, a fact which is never challenged. Nor does the caller point out this evidence was not included in a legal challenge. Whilst Joyce Riley appears to be supportive and complimentary at some points, she also injects doubt regularly. For example, at one point she states, "We can't verify some of your so-called evidence here, despite this same evidence having been discussed before the interview." Joyce Riley, twice, gets enthusiastic when listeners suggest that a mixture of thermite and something else was used. Joyce Riley states at the end, "We don't know the answers, we don't have the truth." And she makes similar comments elsewhere in the broadcast. Again, some people will consider Ryan being overcritical here, because, after all, Joyce Riley offered a platform to Dr. Judy Wood. And, because the Power Hour goes out on shortwave, it has a large audience. However, details of the broadcast need to be studied to see that, at best, it was a muddle-up and at worst it was an attempt to cast Dr. Judy Wood in a bad light, primarily because her audio was muted when she needed to respond promptly to a point made and when she was not really given sufficient time to respond carefully to points raised. Following the interview, Dr. Wood contacted Joyce Riley and described how she was unhappy about how the caller who accused her of lying about Hurricane Erin was not handled. Joyce Riley was sent this email from a listener who contacted Dr. Wood and stated, "This hurricane existed well before 9/11/01. It was over 540 miles away from WTC location. I think she has been grossly misled and is misleading others. I am surprised she was allowed to make such baseless claims on the Power Hour without opposition. I think she is out of her mind and I am quite literally disappointed that she was given the airwaves of the Power Hour to spout her nonsense." Andrew Johnson on the Power Hour for the second time, 31 March 2010. In a follow-up interview with me on 31 March 2010, Joyce Riley brought up the issue of Dr. Wood's presentation, and I addressed it by pointing out that Dr. Wood was encouraging people to look at the evidence and think for themselves rather than be spoon-fed with a conclusion, and how important that was. Regardless of what one might have thought of Dr. Wood's presentation, the evidence is more important than the packaging. It is symptomatic of how the show progressed that this has to be pointed out to people. Similarly, a skillful host will, to some extent, adapt themselves to the guest's style of delivery and adapt their questioning to get the best out of their guest. There were no real problems in the first hour of the show on 31st of March, and I was able to present and make the points I wished. Joyce did not make any comments as I began to discuss the connection between the cold fusion phenomenon and the 9/11 evidence and cover-up, except when I started to talk about Stephen E. Jones being involved with cold fusion. In the recording of the interview of 31st March, at around 26 hours 45 minutes, Joyce Riley states, "That's quite a strong allegation to be making against her, Dr. Jones." It is slightly interesting that she referred to Dr. Jones, though maybe not significant, and this was the only time she commented in that part of the presentation. After the event, the Power Hour shows its weaknesses. On her 24th of March 2010 program, Joyce Riley stated, "Junior, I am gonna be real honest with you all, that I don't think she presents herself well. I think there is a lot of work that could be done on making her points understandable to people, interesting, easily. Put them together so that you come from point A to point B to point C to point D and then you come to the conclusion. But I don't think that happened, and we talked about that because I don't want to think that that is going to limit her in her ability to do her production and her spreading of information." CO host, yet shouldn't discredit the message. But if you don't present well, you do discredit your message. I mean, some people said she used terms like justification, now that's not a PhD term. CO host, sure. Okay, maybe so, but I think she's trying to bring it down to the level of a lot of people, and the Power Hour people are not at a low level, they're really understanding what is going on, they don't need that kind of a limitation on the information. Aerosolization I think would be more, I don't know, that to me, she didn't like that term, but I thought would be the term that would be appropriate. Now what we did yesterday was talk about the idea that she says it is not just the thermite that brought the buildings down, possibly a combination of the two. CO host, I don't see why that's a problem, a lot of people are having a hard time about accepting new information. What is interesting is that they are still discussing how hard this is to accept, and they are also misquoting Dr. Wood, as she does not say the building was brought down and she does not suggest it was a combination of thermite and directed energy weapons. Joyce Riley makes further follow-up comments on 25th of March 2010. Again, Joyce seemed moved to make further remarks, casting Dr. Judy Wood in a bad light. "I don't have a problem with changing my mind. You know this issue with Dr. Judy Wood, which I am gonna give you all the credit in the world, those of you who said she didn't present herself well, that is true, and she's very defensive on that issue also. She needs to have a better presentation of her material. I tend to think she's got some things there that are actually on target. I tend to think that, I don't know how much though. Couldn't Joyce look at the evidence and submitted court documents? These people are frauds." Shortly after my follow-up interview, which was cut short, apparently due to technical problems, on the 1st of April 2010, Joyce Riley sent me the only email I'd ever received from her, up to then. In this message was a debunking compilation of images by George Freund containing the statements, "Dust at the WTC, a poor hoax." This email can be seen on my website. Why was this the only email I received from her? What did the photos Freund had compiled really show? I would argue they just provided more evidence that Dr. Wood was correct in her analysis. George Freund phoned in to promote thermite, yet did not seem bothered that this evidence was not included in the RFC Centernist. George Freund then went as far as to say, "These people are frauds." Wow. So, George Freund accuses us of being frauds and completely ignores all of the evidence, and that it had been submitted to court. Further, Joyce Riley forwards this, nonsense to myself and Dr. Wood. For these reasons, and the terrible handling of the issues in Dr. Wood's original interview, when Joyce Riley contacted Dr. Wood to ask for another interview, I sent her back a list of questions about these things. I was not happy with her answers, so we declined the interview. Her responses were interesting. I won't even take the time to study and break down these messages in detail, as it is relatively clear that Joyce Riley does not address the issues I raised and seemingly tries to imply things do not look good for our side. She also uses the word ambush. How interesting. John Hutchison's appearance on the Power Hour, the 5th of April 2010. John Hutchison was supposed to appear with me on the Power Hour on the 31st of March 2010, but it appeared there was some kind of power failure, so it became the No Power Hour, and there was no broadcast. Joyce Riley therefore hosted an interview with him on the 5th of April 2010. There were no real problems with this interview. I will just make one observation. Joyce Riley asked John Hutchison what he thought about 9/11. I want to address 9/11. Now Dr. Judy Wood has been on the program, Andrew Johnson has been on the program and of course, they refer to you heavily. Why is that when they talk about 9/11, they refer to the Hutchison effect and to your work? John Hutchison then states at 29:35. Well, in Hangar 17 there's so many different strange metal samples that seem to resemble my samples as well as the buildings themselves, the central core, sort of just vaporizes, when it falls down. He then mentions a couple of times that he thinks Dr. Wood is the expert and he expresses respect for her qualifications in engineering and her analysis of 9/11. At 30 hours 59 minutes, John also brings up the thermite theory, saying, I call them the welding materials people. I mean there's no way that people put hundreds of tons of thermite in all those buildings. John then discusses thermite is a welding material and that it was used for this purpose in World War I and World War II. Joyce Riley says, could the thermite have been a combination, a rabbit hole? Is Joyce Riley keen to suggest that thermite was used in some way? Why doesn't she ask John to go into more detail about the connection between the 9/11 evidence and the Hutchison effect? Conclusions. Again, on the surface, it looks as if Joyce Riley is helping to raise awareness of Dr. Judy Wood's research, particularly as she also had John Hutchison on her program, but she did not allow a sufficient discussion of the evidence. This is really quite straightforward, if a host takes time to listen or research for themselves, and, importantly, the host does not have an agenda to distract, muddle up, confuse or lead the discussion into a dead end. Riley repeatedly mentioned thermite and I sensed there was a need for this bogus theory to be kept in the frame for the listening audience, rather than it being exposed as a fraudulent, misleading deception. Even if Joyce Riley felt she could not be confident about what the truth was, she could have exposed what it wasn't.